Jurors heard opening statements today in an espionage trial that could lead to the first death penalty against an accused spy in half a century. Former Air Force Sergeant Brian Regan is accused of trying to sell secrets to Iraq, Libya, and China. The government says even though Regan never made a dime on his spying scheme, he should be put to death. NPR's Larry Abramson is just back from the federal courthouse. He joins us now in the studio. Larry, prosecutors and defense attorneys made opening statements today in federal court in Alexandria, Virginia. What kind of tale did they tell?
It's a very straightforward tale, Lynn. This guy, Brian Regan, was a highly trained defense analyst for the Air Force for 20 years. He was very dedicated and highly awarded. And he became an expert in what's called signals intelligence. He learned a lot about how military reconnaissance satellites target things like Iraqi aircraft batteries, for example. According to the government, he took that information, turned around, and tried to sell it to the Iraqi, Libyan, and Chinese government for $13 million.
And how did he allegedly do all this?
Well, he developed a very elaborate cloak-and-dagger system for trying to communicate with the Iraqis. He encrypted notes. He told people that he was trying to sell stuff to place ads in the Washington Post for a car that would be sold for a certain amount of money, and that would be a clue to tip him off to leave information in a certain place. So it was very complicated. And basically what he was telling them was that he was this experienced defense analyst who had a lot of information to sell them. It would be worth hundreds of millions of dollars to them. He only wanted $13 million for himself. And according to the prosecution, he needed that money because he was deeply in debt, about $120,000 in credit card debt that he had to take care of quickly.
How did he get caught?
Well, the FBI became a little bit suspicious, and after all the recent spying scandals, they've been watching these people more closely. They basically set up a camera behind his computer, and they could see what he was doing, that he was accessing all of these intel link sites, these secret intelligence sites. And they showed surveillance people in the FBI that he was accessing sites that he really had no business looking at for the work that he was doing, and that he was copying this stuff down and putting in his wallet, and then he was running off to Europe for no apparent reason and had no explanation for. One day he said, "I'm going off to Disneyland." In fact, he was going off to Europe again, and the FBI nabbed him at Dulles Airport.
So how are Regan's lawyers defending him?
Well, they're kind of asking for sympathy, basically. They're saying that this guy had bad judgment that bordered on stupidity. They said that he was dyslexic, that he had big debts, as I mentioned, that he had four children to support, and that he was just a guy who came up with a scheme that really wasn't very smart. They don't really dispute that what he did was wrong. They're not really claiming that he was innocent. They don't really have to do that, of course. But they're basically saying that what he was doing wasn't dangerous. It never went anywhere because nobody ever bought this intelligence. And so it really didn't do any harm. So he may be kind of a bumbler, a schnook, whatever you want to call him, but he's not a dangerous spy.
And yet he faces the death penalty.
Well, that's kind of interesting. This would be the first spy since Julius and Ethel Rosenberg to be executed. And of course, what they did, at least as far as people allege at that time, was extremely damaging to the country. The difference here is that he was arrested right before 9/11. He was put up for the death penalty right after 9/11. And of course, John Ashcroft, the attorney general, has made no bones about the fact that he is not going to go soft on anybody who plays lightly with the defense of this country. The other thing is that this man, unlike Robert Hansen, was not part of a big spy network. He really didn't have any information to offer up in exchange for a shorter sentence or for life in prison. And so the government may well feel that they don't have anything to lose here. They don't have anything to gain by bargaining with him. And the best thing for them to do is to use him as an example.
Okay, thanks very much, Larry.
Thank you, Lynn.
NPR's Larry Abramson.